Father, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for life. We thank you, dear God, for this time of the year that, Lord, it seems like, Lord, we can celebrate and worship and focus more than we normally do upon the birth of Jesus, or even though we should all do year round. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the seems like the atmosphere sometimes is better around this time of year with people, especially God's people, Lord, because we care more about one another. We care more about our families, Lord, in situations that they're going through and facing in their lives. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, as we look at this portion of your word, God, that you might encourage us, Lord, with those outside in the world tonight that need a Savior. Lord, they need the peace of God in their hearts like you've given us. And God, I just pray, God, you'd help us to realize tonight that we're to be busy trying to share the gospel with people, no matter where they are, who they are, and what they've done. So, Father, we commit now this service to you. Bless your word, God, tonight as we read it. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We see in this chapter here, chapter 1 of Psalm, we see two things. First of all, the godly will prosper. The godly people will prosper. We see also the ungodly people will perish. Ungodly people will perish. That's a promise from God's word, is it not? Now, look in chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, I want you to go back to chapter 2 and verse number 1 as we get our thought tonight. As the psalmist asks a question here. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? My thought tonight is, why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? Now, first of all, let's clarify. The heathen. Who are heathens? Heathens are people that worship a false god. People that, maybe not only that, they do not know and do not acknowledge the God of the Bible that we have and that we read and study. They do not acknowledge him as being God. Therefore, they're heathens. They do not believe in God. And we see here that the Bible says, the psalmist says, why do the heathen rage? Why do the ungodly, why do the people that don't believe in God, why do they rage? That means to speak or act violently. Why do people in the world today act violently that are heathens? Do you see it? Do you see it today in the world? People that are ungodly, people that are lost, how they acting unviolently, they're acting violently, they're raging. Why is this taking place in their life? What's going on in their hearts? What's going on in their lives? Why do they act this way? You know, I believe that no matter how we act, there's a reason why we act the way. I mean, a child, if he's hungry, he's going to act a certain way, is he not? A man is too, is he not, ladies? I mean, we all have ways that we act, you know, to try to get our message across to somebody. Well, the heathen out there, the people that are lost in the world today, are acting the way they act to try to convince, show us something is going on in their life. There's something missing in their life that they need. And we know, of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, why do they do this? We see, first of all, they don't know the true and the living God. They don't know God like we know God. Now, I'm speaking of God. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. I'm talking about Jehovah God, He who is. In other words, we find that He is self-existent. Also, Elohim, the divine power, the God of the Bible. They don't know the true and the living God in the world in which we live. Therefore, we find them raging. They're raging because they don't understand who He is. God of the Bible is the only infinite and eternal being. He has no beginning, He has no end. We also see the God of the Bible is the creator of all things. He created everything in the world that we see and we enjoy. The God of the Bible, Jehovah, that is. He also is the supreme intelligence. He knows all things. Folks, there's nothing that God don't know. Nothing. He knows all things that could be known. We see also He is the righteous ruler of the universe. He's in control of this world in which we live in. He's controlling it and according to His plan. And by the way, His plan will be carried out. Amen. It will be carried out, and it will be carried out in the time that He wants it carried out, not when man sets a date. He's already set the date Himself, and He knows exactly when it's going to take place. So we're talking about a heathen is a person that does not know the God of the Bible. He does not know. The God of the Bible, He is life and the only source of life. God gives life. He's the only source of life. So we see here, this is who we're talking about. Now, we see in this verse, these verses right here, in Psalm chapter 2, especially in verses 1 through 6, we see here the psalmist comparing the godly and the wicked. The godly person and the wicked person. He's comparing them. He says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? A vain thing. Now, we know there's been opposition, there's hostility, I should say, towards the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today and Christianity today, the faith. And it's been expressed throughout the centuries. It hasn't just begun in the 19th century and the 20th century. It's always begun. But because you and I are living in this time, we see it ourselves more than we've ever seen it in our life. But it's always been. It's always has been, always will be. Now, we see that Jesus told us about this in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 22. He says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be hated by all men for my name's sake. And you're going to find as a Christian, as we go out into this world and begin to talk to people about the Lord, the people are not going to want to hear what you and I have to say. It's not about us, it's about Him. I mean, just recently we went out to visit. We went up to a door. We've been to several doors and had some good visits and go up to another door, walked down the driveway, could have crossed up the sidewalk to the house. And before we could get to the sidewalk, the man jumped up and slammed the door in our face. You know, I mean, that's beginning to be a natural thing, folks, in this world in which we live. Because, first of all, they don't know who you are. They don't know what you're trying to do, what you're going to do to them before them. And, you know, we live in a world, I understand partly why they do that. But nevertheless, they reject what we have to say to them about our Savior. And that's a sad thing to me. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. Not me, or not you, but the gospel that we have to present to them. They do not want to accept it, you see. So it's sad. There's hostility in the world today. There really is. But my thought is this. Why do the heathen rage? Why is the world raging today? Why is there so much going on in the world today? Something, again, is in the hearts and the minds of people that need to be changed. We see here the kingdom of this world is by of Satan. In other words, he's the king of this world. He's the prince of the powers of the air, is he not? He's the king of this world. And unsaved men are stirred by him, and they are stirred by him to cause opposition about the Lord Jesus Christ. He stirs people up about Jesus Christ and where they don't want to hear about him. And so we see this is why we see live in this world today. Now, we see in verse number 2 of chapter 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We see here in these verses right here, we told here what the rulers of the world are doing today. You know, there's always been, and our national leaders are mostly ungodly leaders. Not many born-again Christians do you know that are leaders in a country today. If they are, when they get in office, things change, don't they? I mean, they change their thinking, they change their thoughts about what they believe, what they're going to do, and things just change about them. There's something about the world that just adapts us to that, to the world, rather than us being not conformed to the world. And so we see here, this is what happens many, many times here. Notice it says that they would break asunder our bands. In verse number 3, let us break their bands asunder, the world is saying to us. Why do the heathens rage? And they imagine a vain thing. You know, the heathens are imagining things, people tonight, that are not true. You know, it's sad for a person to think that they're saved and going to go to heaven and wind up in hell. It's sad to think that a person thinks that there's no God. And life, when it's over, you're just dead and that's it. That's sad, isn't it? But a lot of people think that today. Do you know that? They think that way. Life is just, it's going to soon be over and there'll be nothing after life. After I die, that's the end of it, you see. But notice it says right here, we are told what they aim at. That is the heathen. What they aim at in their opposition. In verse number 3, we see, let us break their bands asunder. Now, what is he speaking about here? Asunder means in pieces. Let us break their bands in pieces. Shrivel, I mean literally break it in pieces. And their bands. The bands here are their restraint. The restraint, I believe, is what he's speaking about here. You know, we have to, you know, when we go out to the world and try to talk to people about the Lord, if it's not God, God is not in us and helping us, we just can't do it, folks. This flesh cannot do it. You know, because this flesh is weak. The flesh has no desire to talk to people about the Lord. And what the world, the heathens are raging, they're trying to get our restraint, to restrain us from going out into the world and telling people about the Lord, what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop us. And I'm afraid some of us sometimes are listening to the world. We're listening to the heathen because they're trying to hinder us in every way they can. Not to go. But they break our bands asunder in pieces and bands our restraint. And notice this in our cords. He talks about our cords here. And cast away their cords from us. Now, what is a cord? A cord is maybe some kind of rope, could be. I think he's speaking of here something that is entwined. In other words, something that is bind together. You know, speaking about the commands of God in our heart and our life. It's the Word of God in our hearts. You see, they're trying to break that away from us, to hinder us from talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. By the way, it's only the Word of God that we have to give, folks. It's not what we have to say. We just present the gospel, the Word of God to people that God has imparted into our hearts and our lives, and that's the thing that makes a difference in a personal life, whether they get saved or not, you see. So we see here, he says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Notice verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, I believe God is speaking here as God is laughing at the heathen tonight. He's laughing not at them personally. He's laughing at them because they do not have the power that they think they have. God, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I believe that. No matter what the heathen may say, what the heathen may do, I believe with all my heart that, you know, their feeble attempts to defeat God will not be accomplished because God gives the victory. It's only through Him that we get the victory. Now notice it says also, we see right here in verse number 5, then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vexed them in his sore displeasure. We see in verses 5 through 9 here how God sets in motion his plan to give the kingdom of the earth to his son. One day it's going to happen. It's going to take place one of these days. Now, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, he says in Matthew chapter 28 that he has all power in heaven and in earth. Do you believe that? He has all power in heaven and in earth. And I believe as a Christian today that we must realize that because he has all power, we're his children, he's given us all power also to go and to do what he wants us to do. Now, Christianity, I'm so glad tonight I'm a Christian. Probably most everybody here is a Christian tonight. Are you glad you're Christian?
Amen.
Amen. Christianity is a what? It's a faith, is it not? It's a faith. It's a faith. Christianity is a faith, but it's based upon a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never had that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved tonight. You need to be saved. But Christianity is a faith. It's a faith that we need to be sharing the world about. You know, sharing with the world. We see that it's a faith with, first of all, principles. What are the principles of Christianity? Number one, we see principles is for living. God in his word has given us principles for living. He tells us how to live the Christian life based upon the word of God. We're to be faithful to God's house. All of you come to every service, no doubt about that. We read our Bibles. We study. We try to visit. We try to do all we can, learning the Bible, learning the word of God, learning how to live the Christian life. There's principles in God's word that we need to learn and abide by. So first of all, Christianity is a faith that has principles. Principles about living and also about dying. I'm so glad that I don't fear death. I'm not ushering myself out tonight. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm so thankful in my soul I don't fear dying. I'm kind of concerned about how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen, but I don't fear the fact that I'm going to die one day, and I know I am. That's a Christian faith. We have faith in God. God's going to take care of us. God has prepared a place for us to go. And praise God, it's a lot better than where we are now. Amen? So we have the Christian principle of living. We have the Christian principle of dying. We also have the Christian principle of eternity. We know there's a place for us. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will prepare a place, and I'll come back again and receive it to myself, that where I am, that you may be also. So we see the principles of Christian faith. These are so important tonight, folks. We also see Christian faith has provisions for you and I in this life. We see the provisions are, first of all, the abundant. Aren't you glad for the grace of God, the mercy of God? The abundance that God gives you. Listen, there's not a probably person in this room tonight that has not been abundantly blessed of God. Amen. I mean abundantly blessed of God. You have more than you need. You have more than you can, your house is a fool, your storage building is a fool, everything's full. You don't want to do what you got. You're like we are, you got more stuff than you need, and you need to get rid of probably two-thirds of what you got. You know, I mean we've been abundantly blessed in this life today. In America, we've been blessed, you see. Also, not all that, but it's also provisions is eternal. Provisions are eternal. You know, the Bible tells us to lay up treasures where? In heaven. Amen? Where moth and rust does not destroy, we're to lay up treasures in heaven. And may the Lord help us to do that. Christianity is a faith also loaded with promises, the many promises of God in His Word. I'm thankful for the hundreds and literally promises that we have in the Word of God. From him. He says, I shall supply all you need, doesn't he? He says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, there's people in this room tonight that are burdened. You have a burden on your heart, you have a burden in your soul that only God knows about, probably, and only God is the one that's going to help you with that burden. Folks, listen, someone said tonight in the prayer time, said, you know, there's our people in our church tonight are focusing a lot upon our families, and we should. Our families have needs, folks. Our families are crying out sometimes to people. They really are. And we need to do all we can to help them. And may the Lord help us to do that tonight. God has promised to help us, and if we're able to help somebody else, we need to help them. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. So we see Christianity is about principles, provisions, and promises, but first and foremost, Christianity is about the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not for him, we could not be saved. There would be no possible way for us to be saved. So we see without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ, every promise is in vain, isn't it? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, every principle is false. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, every provision is empty in our life. Life hinges upon him and not upon us, folks. It hinges upon his. Now, in any Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, preaching church, you can learn this. You're going to hear much about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go to a church and you don't hear much, you don't hear anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, mark it down, you have the wrong church. You don't need to be there because it's all about him, folks. It's all about him. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in his pre-existence. We memorize these verses in a Sunday school class this last quarter in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. As the pre-existent Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ has always been. He's always been. He pre-existed. He was in the beginning with the Father. He always has been. Also, he's the prophesied Jesus. Our preacher's been talking about that this last couple of Sundays. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." He's a prophesied Jesus. We need to make much of him in that way. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. The prophesied Jesus. We need to make much of him. Also, we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "I'll bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day a Savior, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The prophesied Jesus. The pre-existent one, the prophesied Jesus, and also the personal Jesus. I'm so glad he's personal, aren't you? Amen. He loves you as an individual. He loves me as an individual. He's personal. "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business," he said in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. We also see in John chapter 11, we see the love of Jesus towards a friend of his, Lazarus. He's a personal Jesus. He's personal. He wants to be your friend, your best. Listen, the best friend I have on earth is Jesus Christ. The best friend I have is Jesus Christ in my life. He's also the perfect Jesus. Can't find any sin about him. He's sinless. He's perfect. Jesus was in all points tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that. He was tempted like we are. The powerful Jesus. Again, Matthew in chapter number 28:18. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He had powers over the devils. He had powers over diseases. And he had power even over death. He had great power. He's also the praying Jesus. The praying Jesus. We find here that he prayed. And we thank God that he does pray for us every day in our life. I'm thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. He says in John 1, 1 John 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." I'm glad we can go to him, aren't you? Make our petitions to him. He also is the providing Jesus. The providing Jesus. He provides for us every day. We look at his life, his death, his resurrection, and we'll see what he provides. First of all, we see he provides salvation for sinners like you and me. The greatest thing he ever provided for me was salvation. I'm so glad tonight for salvation. He has saved me. He's forgiven me of my sins. Jesus provides salvation for everyone. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He's a providing Savior. He became poor. Even though he had the riches of heaven, he became poor that you and I might become rich in knowing him as our Savior by his grace. He was born in Bethlehem so we might be born again. Aren't you glad that he was willing to be born in a lowly place that you and I could be born again? Be saved, become a child of God. He became a servant to us that we might become the sons and daughters of God. He served us that you and I could become the sons of the daughters of God. We also see the preeminent Jesus Christ. We see his name. We find in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given a man whereby we must be saved. He's the preeminent one. Listen, folks, there's only one Jesus. That's God's Son. That's God's Son. We also see, we found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. There's something about the name Jesus, isn't there? It's the sweetest name I know. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess in earth and all things under heaven. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. There's something about his name, his preeminence. Now, the question is this. Why do the heathen rage about Jesus? Why is there so much going on about Jesus? Why do they not like Jesus? Why don't they like for us to talk about Jesus in their lives? Well, we see here, Jesus said again in Matthew 10, verse 22, and you shall be hated of men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now such hatred as this, folks, is bitter. It's bitter. It's bitterness. There's a bitter root here. The question in Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 1 is, he says here, is followed by the answer of the world's leaders against God's sovereign rule. The rule of the world. People want the rule of the world. And we find this is the problem here in verse 2 and 3. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So we see here the rulers of the world. Now, the world tonight, folks, is resenting the gospel. They resent the truth of the Word of God. You know, I had to reflect back in my own life before I got saved. When I heard the Word of God preached and talked to me, there was some kind of resentment to me about that. I don't know about you, before I got saved. I was saying, what is this I'm hearing, you know? They're trying to tell me I'm a sinner. They're trying to tell me I'm a bad person and all this, and I kind of resented that. I resented that in my heart, in my life. I did, until I kept hearing it. And, you know, the world today resents the thought that they need to humble themselves in the presence of the God-man. That's why the heathen rage, folks. People out there resent the fact that they should bow before Jesus Christ. They resent that. They don't want to do that. And you know, they realize, they're not reminded, they haven't been realizing yet, their sin debt. They owe a debt they can't pay. The depth of their sin is going to send them to hell if they don't trust Christ as Savior. And they don't realize that. And not only that, the depth of their sin, but the great need that we have for God to forgive us and his grace that he applies to our lives. The world tonight is blinded, folks, just like I was, just like you were. And we must realize that when we talk to people. Why do the heathen rage? They resent the fact that they got to humble themselves in the presence of God and acknowledge the fact that they're sinners and they need to be forgiven of their sins. That's why they rage. That's why they're raging tonight, folks. The bottom line is this. 2 weeks before Christmas now, not quite 2 weeks. But you know, you can talk more at this time of year about Jesus Christ and get by with it than you can any other time. You know why? The world will accept Jesus Christ as a baby in a manger. Okay? They'll accept him in that way, in a manger. They'll accept him as a great teacher. You take the book down off the shelf, you read about him, you put the book back on the shelf, and you hush. They accept that. But whenever you present the plan of salvation, God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people, they resent it. They resent it. They don't want to hear it, you see. But we see here that this is our job. See, the world, we see they need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can add to the fact also that if they want to humble themselves before God, the fact that Satan himself hates Jesus Christ. You know that? He hates you if you're saved tonight. He hates you. He hates the fact that you know Christ is your Savior. And you can understand why now hatred is against the Lord Jesus Christ. It's irrational. Okay? Now, look at the significance of his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world today. We see Jesus, the significance of his name. He is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we say that, the world don't want to accept that. They won't believe that. He is Christ the Savior, the Son of the living God. They will not believe that. We also see he is the one who has rescued us. He's not only rescued us, he's secured us from rescue. You know, we're safe and secure. I'm so glad tonight I'm safe in Jesus. I'm secure in Jesus. And we realize that tonight. He's the one who's done that. And God has given his final word towards sin about how Jesus come and died for us. He obeyed what he wanted, what God his Father wanted him to do. Therefore, he has authority. He has authority to forgive us and to cleanse us. Now, we see here the greatest question tonight is this. A great question we need to ask the world tonight, ask ourselves. The world thinks we can, but we know we can't. Can man live without God? Can man live without God? I personally don't think he can. Man can't even breathe without God. He makes my heart breathe. He makes your heart breathe. He gives us air to breathe. He makes our body breathe. Therefore, we can't live without God. But I'm afraid our nation, our world is trying to, folks. It's trying to. Why do the heathen rage? They resent the fact that they're sinners that need to be saved. They resent the fact that Satan is the prince and powers of this world we live in, and he hates God's people, God's disciples. And we also see the name Jesus Christ, the world hates his name. You know, it's sad when there's a need in a person's life and they don't recognize that need. And that's where we are in this world today. People have needs. They need Jesus. I'm convinced, folks, I'm convinced with all my heart that if people in this world today were saved, we'd have a world worth living in. Without it, we won't. We can't. The greatest need tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can man live without God? No, there's no way. There's no way man can live without God. Now, why do the heathen rage? Why do the heathen rage? What a great God we have. What a great Savior we have. But the world tonight is raging against him, aren't they? They're raging against him. Who would blaspheme such a holy and a worthy name? Who would? You probably know people. I know people too that will. They do it every day. They do it. Who would speak against such a person as Jesus Christ? Who would speak against people? A person like Jesus Christ. You probably know people, and I do too. Who would hate Jesus? Who would hate Jesus? The man that slammed the door in our face this past week, I'm afraid he falls into these categories. He don't love Jesus. He don't love Jesus. Also, who would not want anything to do with such a person? Why would people turn away Jesus? The sweetest person, the sinless person, the spotless Lamb of God. Why are people turning him away? Why? Why do the heathen rage? Who would mock his name? Mock his name. Ridicule his name. Who would despise Jesus, a man like this? Look what he's done. Look what he's done for the world. How can anyone not love Jesus, folks? How can anyone not love Jesus? People don't love Jesus because they don't know who he is. They haven't been taught, folks. I'm afraid we are spoiled people. And the fact that we have heard so much the gospel, we've heard the word of God so much, time and time again in our lives, we've been blessed to be raised in Christian homes and families, but most people have not, folks. We have to recognize that. We have to recognize that. Who would neglect such great salvation as this? Who would neglect the plan of God, so great salvation that God wants to save your soul and place you in heaven one day? Who would? Some will, some will not. Trust Christ as Savior. We notice, which are we doing? As Sister Long this morning sang that song, No Room, I thought about this. What are we doing? Do we have room for Christ in our life? Even as a Christian, I'm talking about. Do we have room for Him in our life? Do we have time for Him? Do we have time for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have concern for others? Do we have compassion for others? Are we concerned about the things of the Spirit of God in our lives? Where are we at today? I'm afraid this time of year we get caught up, folks, in so much doing and going and doing that we really don't take time to think about what Christmas is all about. We really don't. We get caught up with our little world that we live in, and we don't focus like we ought to on the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us tonight. How, like the people in Bethlehem, many of us are tonight. The people of Bethlehem, there was no room for Jesus, was there? They wouldn't give them a place to stay, even to be born. No room for the Christ child. We need to realize tonight, folks, Jesus is no longer a child. He's a man who was born, grew up, he died, he went to Calvary, he was buried, he rose again, he's sitting at the right hand of God tonight making intercession for you and I. And he's expecting you and I to do something for him. Do something for him. May the Lord help us tonight as we focus upon why the heathen rage. They're like us, folks. They're just like us. They resent the fact that they're sinners. And only by the grace of God and the Spirit of God enabling us to be able to talk to them about the gospel will they receive Christ as Savior. It takes compassion. It takes love. It takes faithfulness to tell people about Jesus. We also see Satan hates Jesus. He hates us as his children. And he's going to do everything he can to hinder us from talking to people about Jesus. That's why the heathen rage, because we're not talking to them like we should. You know, you'd be surprised when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, wherever you go. If you were just carry a conversation with somebody and tell them how much God loves them, how much it would calm them down and help them, folks. Would you not agree with me that this world needs help? You know where the help's going to come from? God's people. God's people. If we don't share, if we don't tell, they're not going to hear, they're not going to know. And it's our responsibility, folks, to do that. It's our responsibility. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives out, the psalmist gives out good advice in the last part of this chapter, chapter number 2, look at verse 10. Look at the advice he gives. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those that put their trust in Him. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face ridicule, folks. But may the Lord help us as we go out into the world talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs to hear, folks. The world needs to hear. Unless we tell, they won't hear. Why do the heathen rage? They don't know Christ. They don't know Christ. They don't know Him. Whose fault is it? It's our fault. We're not telling, folks. We're not telling. May the Lord help us. Have I spoken to someone this past week? Have you spoken to someone this past week about Jesus? Have you? Have you shared Jesus? What a time of the year, a special time of the year to begin to share people from now to Christmas. Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, whoever they are, they need to hear. And may God help us to be the carriers of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do the heathen rage? Think about that. Why are people so much against Jesus? Think of myself. Think of yourself. before I knew him, before you knew him. That's why they don't know him. They don't know him. They never met him. A lot of people never heard about him. That's why the heathens rage. They imagine a vain thing. They think they're going to make it without him, and they're not. They're not going to make it. It's not how much good I do or how much bad I do that's going to send me to heaven, but it's what I do with Jesus. What I do with Jesus. May the Lord help us this week to be busy. To be busy about telling people about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for loving us. We thank you, dear God, for the Word of God that you've given to us, that we might share with people, Lord, that we might have the opportunity of telling a lost world such good news as you've given us to be able to share. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we look tonight at the heathen, the lost in this world, Lord, sometimes we're too judgmental towards these people. And God, we need to realize, Lord, that apart from your grace, we would be there. And God, we need to be sharing and kind and considerate, Lord, in every situation. God, help us to be what we ought to be for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.